Okay, so I am the fill-in speaker for the chapter called Law from the book entitled Love and Law by Ernest Holmes that is our topic for this week. And as usual, I expect that when I'm going to give a talk that things just appear before me to help me with the process. And so I found out Friday night that I would be speaking on Sunday morning, and I was going to retreat all day yesterday. And I thought, okay, then some good stuff better show up fast. Because I don't have a whole lot of time to work on this talk. And good stuff showed up fast. On Friday night, I read the chapter, which is fortunately a short chapter. It's only 9 pages, and the last page is only 1 paragraph. So I thought, okay, this is good. I can read this quick. And I read it, and I went to bed. And normally before I go to sleep, I listen to a meditation that I have done at some point, usually for the Abraham groups. And that particular meditation that I just happened to pick out, as I was listening to it, I thought, this is a lecture on law of attraction, which is the topic for my talk on Sunday. And I used notes from a workshop to do this meditation. So somewhere I have all of this already typed out. So I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and shot out of bed and said, I got to find those notes. And I looked through my files, and 5 minutes later, I had 7 pages of notes from Abraham on law of attraction. So that was easy. I thought, well, I need to type up the stuff from Love and Law, but I've got a lot of Abraham quotes. And I thought, I wonder what, if anything else, will come to me. And this morning, I woke up and I thought, it's St. Patrick's Day. I need to find something green, and I need to look up some quotes from Annam Cara, the book by John O'Donohue, which is a book of Celtic wisdom, because I remembered that he had a lot of really good things to say. So that's what has come together. There are 3 things that are going into this talk today. Ernest Holmes' chapter and Abraham's, it was an Alaska cruise from the DVD called Clarity, and John O'Donohue. So here we go. Holmes kicked it off by talking about the law of cause and effect, which is another synonym for law of attraction. And he uses them interchangeably in the Science of Mind textbook. The title of the chapter is Law of Attraction. In this book, he's calling it, in this chapter anyway, Law of Cause and Effect. And the simple version that he stated is the law gives back to us what we put out. So very, very simple way of saying it, like attracts like. John O'Donohue had a poetic way of saying it that just really turned me on. He said, if you send out goodness from yourself, or if you share that which is happy and good within you, it will all come back to you multiplied 10,000 times. In the kingdom of love, there is no competition. There is no possessiveness or control. The more love you give away, the more love you will have. So let's breathe in that giving out love and having it returned 10,000 times. And as I looked through Abraham's notes, they said, you can stand there and adjust your frequency and immediately adjust the manifestations that will come to you. So a simple adjustment is what it takes to refine our life experience. So that was nice. And then Ernest talked about saying, I am. Jesus said, I am that I am. And I heard a talk once, I can't remember who gave it, but it's inspired me every day since, because this person said, first you say what God is, and then you say, I am that I am. I am that. I am what God is. I am that. And so that goes into a lot of my prayers. I say, you know, I am that, we are that, if I'm praying with other people. So Ernest said, whenever we say I am, we are proclaiming the law of life. If I say I am sick, there is nothing to hinder my being sick if I proclaim it enough. Everything in the universe is a combination of thought operating through mind. When we get the right combination of thought in our mind, it always corresponds. And so, again, he's talking about like attracts like. And then he had another thought that really intrigued me. He said, the more spiritual the thought, the higher the manifestation. Ooh, that's cool. I hadn't thought about it quite in that way before. The more our reliance on what we call God, the greater the power. So if we think about this in terms of Abraham, Abraham says, you have to be in sync with a larger part of you to feel good. And the joy factor equals the success factor. So the better you feel, the more in alignment you are with Source. And focusing on that aspect of happiness and joyousness and feeling good amplifies the impact of it, according to Ernest. If we connect ourselves to the divine, we are amplifying the effect of what we're doing. There's another way it works with the Abraham philosophy. Abraham always says, if you are feeling a little resistance, go more general. And ultimately, the most general is God, omnipotence, omnipresence. That is as general as you can get. It's as broad and expansive. So we are moving into a broader, more expansive space. When I say, even when it looks like something going wrong, it's actually something going right from a broader perspective. We're expanding our perspective. We're looking up. Our vision is changing. Ernest said, every time you say, I am, you are recognizing the eternal, infinite presence of omnipotent power within yourself, which is God, operating through that which you call your mind. That's a really potent sentence. Let me read it again. Every time you say, I am, you are recognizing the eternal, infinite presence of omnipotent power within yourself, which is God, operating through that which you call your mind. Now, I'm not aware of that every time I say I am. Maybe you are, but you're ahead of me if you are. I love that he can claim that so brilliantly. That is powerful. And he said again, every time you say I am, it is immediately supported, and you cannot say a word or think a thought that is not omnipotent. And that is why you bring upon yourselves the things you fear, and that is why you bring to yourself the thing you want, because you're focused on it, and you're sending it out there, and law of attraction is matching it. So back to Abraham. Abraham said, your inner being always knows who you truly are. So when you don't feel good. I often say, we turn our awareness to the presence of God, remembering that God is a constant. It is our awareness that changes. And so we can be aware of our inner being. We can be noticing our feelings as guidance from our inner being. Or we can be blissfully unaware that we are feeling terrible and probably bringing things we don't want into our lives. And Abraham says, you can get pre-manifestational awareness by watching your feelings, or you can get post-manifestational awareness by watching what shows up. And so if you don't like what's showing up, you can change it. They say, be consciously aware of your path. And it feels like this. I am of value. I am worthy. I know life is good. I know life is interesting. I will know my way as I get to it. So they are recommending we use the power of the omnipotent I am, just as Ernest is. Little generational language, perhaps. 70 years later, it probably sounds a little different, but the idea is the same. We get to claim who we are. And here we come to Peggy's alignment. Alignment is you blended with the larger version of you. Alignment feels certain. It feels like fulfillment, energy, and clarity. It feels like coming home to who you really are. So that feels good to me. Coming home to who I really am. What does the best aspect of home feel like to you? Is there a word that resonates with home to you? When I think of home, I think of sanctuary. Do you have any words? Calm?
Relax.
Relax. Love. Yeah. Peace. Ease. Secure. Comfort. Warm in the winter, cool in the summer.
Oneness.
Oneness. Home feels like oneness. Good. So you're looking at an even broader perspective of home. That's powerful. Cool.
Yeah, it's all on the planet, doesn't have mm-hmm. thing. But, yeah, oneness.
Oneness feels like home. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Freedom and clothing optional.
There you go.
TMI.
Yeah, right?
I had to come out.
You always make us laugh, David. I appreciate that. Abraham said, find that vibrational sweet spot. And we just did that with home. We each felt for something that was a sweet spot for us based on the idea of home. And Abraham said, if you find that vibrational sweet spot, it will be a life-changing experience for you. Be happy and playful everywhere you go, just like David was just then. You will then find a profound rightness in what is happening and have really good timing. So playful and happy wherever you go. Finding that place where we can lighten up. And there's another place where Abraham talks about that concept here. They said, you live in a situation comedy, but you're missing most of the jokes. There is nothing serious going on here. Source always knows the solution. Join Source in the solution. Your Source already appreciates your important part in causing the expansion. The answer is there. You just aren't tuned to it yet. You can change your tuning easily by focusing on how you feel. So we begin to trust. And they went on to say, you're often trying to control conditions to produce a feeling. Focus on the feeling you want and let law of attraction control the conditions. So that's a really powerful statement about law of attraction. Instead of trying to control the conditions to produce a feeling, focus on the feeling you want and let law of attraction control the conditions. So back to Ernest. he said, "Wake up!" It's hard to shout on the pages of the book, but I felt him shouting. He said, "Your word is all powerful. Your consciousness is one with omnipotence. Your thought is infinite. Your destiny is eternal, and your home is everlasting heaven. All that ever was or is or ever shall be is now the truth and was never changed and never will be. This is the way for you and I to think, and we shall begin from this day our emancipation." So Ernest thinks big. The consciousness of oneness. I think most of you have been here when I've handed out David Hawkins' map of human consciousness. But it runs from 0 to 1,000, and about 10 is shame and guilt, and then it moves into revenge and anger and worry and fear and worry and anxiety and irritation. And it comes to what they call a neutral space, which is courage. Moving beyond everything you've ever been taught takes courage. And then you move up from courage into acceptance and into non-judgment. And then reason, and then love, and then unconditional love, and then joy. And from joy to bliss, and ultimately to oneness. Oneness is the 1,000 mark. It's the highest. It's the Jesus Buddha vibration, where stuff happens because you're there. And Ernest hammered oneness. The whole point of spiritual mind treatment, which is the way we pray, is we always start with the oneness. God is, and I am that. That is the unification step. That is the oneness. And if we start with the oneness, then we can have an expectation that our life is going to work. Because at the level of oneness, life is perfect. At the level of oneness, there is health and wholeness and abundance and joy and clarity and peace and ease. And so that's where we're trying to go. That's where we are aiming. We don't always make it, but if we're kind to ourselves when we fall back, then we get back there faster. Abraham says, step one is you ask. Step two, the universe answers. Step three, we allow. Step four is we allow more consistently. And step five is we're kind to ourselves when we're back in step one with the asking. So we don't beat ourselves up when we lose it. We allow ourselves to have those moments of overwhelmment or crankiness or irritation. And I remember living there for 15 years in depression when I was young. And now if I spend 20 minutes or sometimes a day there, I'm really annoyed because I know I don't want to be there. And it motivates me because I can remember that I'm at choice. I often use the analogy of the mountain. You're not always on the top of the mountain looking out at the broad perspective. But when you've been to the mountain, when you go back to the valley, you can remember the view from the mountain. And you can remember the transcendence of the mountain. So that takes me to another thing that came into my life this week that fell off the shelf at the library when I was there. It's a book called Joyful by Ingrid Fattel Lee. And she is a designer. She designs things, places and products and all sorts of things. And she began to be aware that people feel joyful in certain environments and in certain ways. And it was inspired by her being in a class where she was asked to design some objects. And she brought in three objects that she had designed. I can't remember what they are. But she put them on a table. And her professors, a panel of them, stared at her objects. And she thought, oh God, I'm going to flunk out of graduate school. And finally, one of them turned to her and said, every one of them carries the quality of joy. And she began to wonder what creates joy. And so she has this remarkable list in this book that she's identified as the aesthetics of joy. And it's a really powerful list of where to look when you want to shift your vibration. You may remember that I often quote my friend Margie as saying, life is in the details and there's something in every scene that sparkles. Mm. And the quality of aesthetics that includes the sparkle is synchrony, sparkle, and bursting shapes. And when I was shopping on Friday, because everything before and after I find out I'm giving a talk turns out to be about the talk, I was looking through Target for some super glue because I needed to glue my sneaker back together. I had a seam that came apart. And I'm looking for the super glue, and what do I find but extreme glitter?
Nice.
Extreme glitter. And so that reminded me of someone. And so with the permission of the mama and papa, I have a little gift for a friend, some glitter, but it will have to be used under very precise circumstances because it is extreme glitter.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
What does extreme mean?
It means we'll have an art project later.
Yay.
Probably outside.
Yeah, at least the first time.
Those
yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah.
Should be fun. I'll just read you the other ones. But I was inspired to sit in my car the other day and write a copy of this list down for a friend of mine, because I walk with her in the mall almost every day. And she's taking art classes at a university. She's as old as I am. And she's gone back to school to take accredited art classes that she's studying seriously for quizzes and things because it brings her joy. And she comes in every day and I say, how was your class? And she spends the next 20 minutes describing the Vermeer painting she's studying for a paper. And all of the research that she's done about who said what and where she agrees with them and where they don't. It just brings her joy to embed herself in this art. So the things that are accumulated with this, energy, vibrant color and light, Lavanya certainly expresses vibrant color and light for us all the time. There is lushness and abundance. Multiplicity and variety are all qualities of joy. There's freedom, nature, wildness, and open spaces. And I was at a horse retreat yesterday with therapy horses, and we were experiencing the aesthetics of horses because they're so beautiful. But what I was experiencing specifically, it was cold yesterday and it was windy. And I was out there in the pasture with the horses in the wind, but I would put my hand on their side and run it over their fur, and their fur was warm from the sun. Even though it was 38 degrees out and windy, their fur was warm. And as I ran my hand up, the texture of the mane ran over the back of my hand, as my hand ran, oh, it was heavenly. It's this incredibly sensual, joyful experience. Harmony, balance, symmetry, and flow. When we hear music, we often experience balance, symmetry, and flow. And then we experience some dissonance that's resolved, and we have this feeling. Play. Circles, spheres, and bubbly forms. They're always here. Surprise, contrast, and whimsy. I thought that was fun. Transcendence, elevation, and lightness, going to the top of the mountain and seeing a vista from a distance. Magic, invisible forces and illusions. And in this list, I think in some ways that's where spirit comes in, because that's the invisible forces. When we believe as much in the invisible forces as we believe in the visible contrast and experience conditions, then life shifts dramatically. Celebration, synchrony, sparkle, and bursting shapes, and renewal, blossoming, expansion, and curves. And I don't know about you, but I went out and took a picture of the blooming trees, the first blooming trees I saw this week, and I posted it on Facebook. And I said, it's 70 degrees, I'm going for a walk without a jacket, and there's trees. And I said, and I was walking by the playground, and it was full of happy children. Yeah? I didn't see you, but I saw lots of happy children. You were at the playground. And there was a little girl sitting on the ground, and her dad was sitting next to her, and they were petting the most adorable little puppy. And the three of them were centered on this adorable little being. And you should have seen the look on her face. Yeah. Her joy, yeah, like that face. Her joy was just expanding in the puppiness of it all. And a week ago, I was at the mall one day, and I was waiting for my friend who was in the restroom. And I was walking between the playground at the mall food court and the carousel, and this little tiny girl, like toddler girl, came running toward me with a red ticket in her pudgy fist because she was going on the carousel. And she had that same joy. And when my friend came out of the restroom, I said, I'm sorry, we can't walk yet. We have to stand here and watch this little girl on the carousel, because she was just so thrilled. And every time she went around, she waved at us and grinned some more because she wanted to share the joy. And it's so contagious. When we feel that excitement, when we feel that delight, we have the capacity to go there with other people, with other experiences. I have it when I walk in the woods and I see a beautiful animal, a fox or even a skunk in the moonlight. I saw a skunk in the moonlight once, and the plume of the skunk's tail was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I diverted my path a little bit. So not to challenge that little friend, but there is so much to love. As we were coming back from the retreat yesterday, a great blue heron flew up right next to the road. Did you? They have 6-foot wingspan. They are huge. And they're awesome. I mean, I was just blown away. And that all of that is available joy. We have the capacity to have available joy. Ernest went on to say, I first realized the truth. I am living in a perfect universe. It always was perfect, and it always will be perfect. There never was a mistake made. there are no mistakes being made, and there never will be any mistakes made. Abraham says, you never get it wrong and you never get it done. Ernest said, this idea of the perfect universe will contradict everything you've ever experienced. And because of thought, all that which seems to be a mistake is a false concept. Abraham calls it a flawed premise. So we are challenging all these things we've believed and seen manifested because we believe them, that says we can be poor, we can be sick, we can be flawed or broken. We are not. We are whole and complete, and life is good. And as we begin to contemplate that goodness, where we can see it, in the smiles of the children, in the beauty of the birds. I saw a bluebird. I had a bluebird fly across my path in front of my car on the sunny, warm day. And I thought, I feel like Cinderella when a bluebird flies across. There's just the access to joy in that experience. So Ernest went on to say, I am one with the infinite intelligence that makes things out of itself and is governed by the thing which it has made. I am the molder of my own life, backed by an infinite power. That which says that a person is poor is nothing but a hypnotic thought, and I choose not to believe it. We stand in the midst of eternal life. But as long as I claim less, I get less. I will get what I ask for. I am that I am. Beside me, there is none other. I am the power of attraction. So I set myself free. I am the power of infinite peace. I am sufficient unto myself. I am one with all that is. One with every person that is, one in eternal union with all that is. The word I speak is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth forever. I am manifesting forever, full and free. He went on to say, this is the way for you to think about yourself. That is the way to use the law. And that is the way to speak it forth in life. And so I want to end with the blessing from Anamkara by John O'Donohue in honor of St. Patrick's Day. This is actually from A Blessing, Eternal Echoes, Celtic Reflections on Our Yearning to Belong. May you awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. May you have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. May you receive great encouragement when new frontiers beckon. May you respond to the call of your gift and find the courage to follow its path. May the flame of anger free you from falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame, and may anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror an inner dignity of soul. May you take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. May you be consoled by the secret symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. And so it is.
So it is.
Beautiful.